The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Connell & Company.
Welcome back and good morning to you. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Jenna Barr. Thank you for spending your morning with me and thank you for texting in. You can send more questions and texts, comments, opinions into our text line here at News Radio Pensacola. That number is 850-437-1620. Again, 437-1620. But if you would like to contact our guests personally, I'll make sure that I give that phone number throughout the program this morning. Our guests this morning will be with us for the next hour. So you have a little bit of time, but don't waste it. Make sure you get those texts in ASAP. Again, 437-1620. So I want to go ahead and first welcome in. We have Angela and Will. So Angela Sherrill, she's a realtor here locally. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to have you.
Thank you so much. I know. I feel like I'm the guest. You guys are the regulars. I am the guest, Angela. Let's get that straight.
Welcome.
Thank you, Will. And of course, that's the voice of Will Maben. He's also a local realtor. So Angela, Will, so for my sake, how long have y'all been realtors here in Northwest Florida?
I've had my license since 2003. I was first a referral agent with Connell. It's always been with Connell and Company. And I turned my license active in 2015. So over 9 years.
Wow. Okay. You've seen a lot of growth.
Oh, yes.
I look back at 2015 only because you said that year specifically, Angela, and I look at the difference in the real estate market since then. You're like, yes, yeah.
We're grateful.
You are. I can imagine. I mean, it's just, it feels almost like we were just little baby buds or just little, you know, sproutlings. Yeah. And now we're like full blown live oaks here.
Right.
In Northwest Florida when it comes to real estate.
The secret is out.
Yeah. What was, the secret is out.
It is.
Yeah.
And we're you know, we don't want to take it away, but we're seeing it's just growth. Even on our last program, we were talking about the new homes that are being built and sold at a rapid rate right now. And that's why you guys are here as well for that process. We're going to discuss that as well. I'm actually going to allow Angela to introduce another guest that we have coming up here in just a moment. But if you would like to contact Angela or Will, Angela's number is 850-292-3165. I can text that to you directly from our text line. And Will's is 850-261-7020. But if you'd like me to send you any information this morning, text in to the show and I'll text it to you directly. That's 850-437-1620. Let's go ahead and kick it off. We have another guest in studio who would like to do the honors for welcoming.
Well, I would like to welcome Nathan Biddle to the show today. He is with BPG Inspections. Fantastic to work with and just very good at his job. Nathan, welcome.
Good morning, Will. Thanks for having me.
Happy Thursday. Happy Thursday to everybody out there.
Yes.
And so, Nathan, how do you become a home inspector?
So here in Florida, it is a licensed profession, and it requires a 120-hour course that you can go through many avenues to get that accomplished. But you have to prove to the state that you've met all the requirements. And most of it is training in basically construction, HVAC, plumbing, those types of things. And then also for Florida specific, it's going to be 4-point and wind mitigation so we can meet the insurance requirements and get our clients all the information there. But once you complete all those, then you go through a background check and fingerprints, that type of thing. And then once you meet all of that, you'll become a licensed home inspector.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Well, you mentioned construction. Growing up, were you experienced in home construction? Did you do any kind of, you know, so, job like that?
Actually, no. So I did grow up, my father, it was grew up, I mean, watching him in the industry of industrial maintenance. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of contact with somebody that was very handy and he did a lot of work around the house. But my professional background before I got into this, which I'm 40 years old, but I just got started in this about 3 years ago, was in law enforcement. So my entire adult life was in law enforcement before I got involved in this.
So you're very familiar with real estate law.
Yes, this is correct. Yes.
Which is very important for a home buyer and a home seller.
Yes.
So.
What does a common day look like for a home inspector? What do you do?
So for me, I usually, when I get up in the mornings, I print off my jobs for the day. So my jobs come by, you know, going out and meeting realtors, going to real estate offices, that type of thing, making contacts, and then they refer the inspections to me. So when they land a deal, they go under contract on a house, they will actually, you know, call around to the home inspectors that they trust. And then, you know, if their clients choose me, then, you know, I'll print out my sheets for the day, and then I'll drive to my house that I'm going to inspect. I usually try to keep it to two or three inspections a day. That'll be a full day of work for me, because each one is going to take between 4 and 5 hours between the inspection and the paperwork. So, yeah, I usually try to do between two and three inspections.
So the report, you include a summary of the different areas that you inspect, and does that include pictures and...
Correct. Yeah. So when I complete an inspection, I will send out a full detailed report to my clients, and mm-hmm. usually they'll allow the realtors to receive it as well. And it will have everything that I've looked at, tested, inspected, anything that I found that was wrong, some things that are just going to be for the owner, the buyer's information.
Right.
You know, like where the water shutoff is and, you know, the temperature of the, you know, water heater, mm-hmm. water, hot water, things like that. But yes, it'll be a full detailed report with photos and, explanation of what's going on.
What are the most common problems you find?
So here in Pensacola, we do deal a lot with termites. So I'm actually licensed to do termite inspections as well. And that's usually part of what I'm doing while I'm doing my home inspection. But I do find termite damage quite often. We do run into a lot of aluminum wiring in our older homes, you know, houses that are built in the 40s, 50s, 60s. We're going to find a lot of aluminum wiring, wood rot from, you know, old roofs and things like mm-hmm. that. But with the way insurance is here in Florida, you know, we get a lot of new roofs put on. So roofs typically aren't the problem. But when they do become a problem, it gets bad pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned about roofs. And what we are running into is that when there has been a catastrophe, some type of storm, you have all these contractors who may not be licensed in the state coming mm-hmm. to help somebody with their new roof. And there's no permits pulled for the roof. So do you check for permits?
Yes. So when I actually sit down to do the reports, part of the wind mitigation and the four-point reports that I provide to my clients, I go in and I will pull permits for the house, for the property that we're looking at. Mm-hmm. And typically it's going to be for the roof. That's the main concern. But we'll find other things on there as well. And if it's been done properly, we will find the permit. It's going to have all the information, dates, and the contractor and that type of thing. There are a lot of times when we find that there's not a permit been pulled. It's either just never got turned in, or we have a, you know, somebody that knew somebody that just did the job form on the side. And that's when it kind of becomes a problem.
Right. Will you explain the difference between a wind mitigation report and a four-point
sure.
report?
So they're both required, or in many instances, they're required for insurance when you're buying a property, and they're going to ask for those. Now, on a new construction house, usually they're not going to ask for the four-point. But the wind mitigation is we will go in, and part of the inspection will be looking at different features of the home that help the house resist high winds and hurricane-type situations. And so we're looking at the roof condition and the age of it, looking for the nailing patterns in the trusses up in the attic. We're also looking for hurricane straps and impact rated windows or hurricane shutters, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Now the 4-point report, that's going to be a completely separate thing, but it also is for insurance, and it's going to cover the HVAC, the roof, the plumbing, and the electrical. Mm-hmm. And so we go in and document with photos and descriptions and information that we find on that. And they're looking for age and condition of all of those. So if we have an electrical problem, they want to know about it. They want to document it with a photo. If we have plumbing leaks or old HVAC system, things like that, that's what we're looking at.
Okay. And Will and I have understood that there are some new HVAC that Freon is being, the type of Freon allowable is changing. Are you familiar with that? Can you?
From what I am familiar with, a few years back, they really started phasing out the old style of Freon, and it's almost unavailable now. You can still find it. So the newer systems are all going to run on the same kind of free on. There is a newer type since then. I don't have a lot of information or on that, but yes, they're trying to phase out the older stuff because it was a bit more dangerous for the environment than the newer stuff.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. All right.
Fantastic. What's the strangest thing you found in the house?
This is a great question. So yeah. In going into people's homes, you do run into some very strange things. Usually in occupied homes, but sometimes in vacant ones. But I, climbing up into attics, I've found some really like creepy dolls in weird places, like stuffed into the soffits and things. Kind of strange. I found on the outside of a house up near the roof line was a pair of underwear that were nailed to the side of the house. I had to get up there to see if that's what I really was seeing, but that's what was there. But probably the strangest was I was looking underneath the air conditioning unit inside in the cold air return, and there was a dead snake inside there. Really caught me off guard. I'm popping the filter off, and I look in there, and it kind of took me back for a second because I saw a snake.
Right.
But fortunately for me, it had passed, but it was very, very strange.
Yeah. I saw the other day that your company, BPG, sent out, you offer classes, and there was something that you all are providing for realtors to better understand a piping inspection. And I know that homes that were built in the 40s and 50s and 60s most likely have galvanized. Mm-hmm. There's cast iron, which I don't think insurance will cover. But can you explain about the galvanized piping and the purpose of doing a camera inspection?
So with galvanized piping, the insurance companies really like to shy away from that. You can still find a few providers, from what I understand, that will cover it, but it's very, very few. The reason why that's not real popular for insurance companies is because they are prone to leak. They've kind of aged out. It's no longer used. Mm-hmm. And so now with the age of those systems, they're known to fail. And with galvanized, you don't really know they're failing until the whole system's failed because they corrode from the inside out.
Right.
So once you start seeing problems, it's a system-wide problem, usually.
Right.
Now with the cameras that you're talking about, that is a new service that we are offering. It's for sewer lines.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, we will either go through a roof vent or we'll go through a clean out. We prefer clean out.
Right.
And we will check from the house to the street. So where the sewer service basically is in your yard. And this is great, not only for older homes, but also newer homes. It is really good in new construction because a lot of times pipes will get crushed during the construction phase. Oh, and nice. We don't know until we're well moved in.
Right.
But we take a camera, we go down through the pipe, and we'll run it from the house all the way out to the street, and we will notate any problems there.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's tree roots that have intruded in on the pipes, broken pipes, if there's been upgrades that have mm-hmm. been done in the past. And this is really important for somebody buying a home, not only just to know the condition of it, but also if there's a major problem, the average cost of a repair is somewhere around $8,000. It could be north of that.
Right.
So a buyer's really going to want to use that either for negotiation or decision-making on their house buying mm-hmm. or just to kind of know where they stand with the property.
Right. So you mentioned that you're licensed to do termite inspections, and now you are able to offer this camera piping service. Do you make recommendations? I would assume that your license is for checking termites. But if somebody, if you find evidence of termite damage but no live termites, I would assume that you are recommending some type of treatment. Do you offer the treatment, or do you recommend actual termite companies? Same thing with if you find that there is a crack in a pipe or the galvanized pipe is tentative, do you recommend, different contractors to help a homeowner?
So that's the great thing about my profession is I'm just there to spot the problems. I don't have to fix any of them. So, but yes, as far as the termites go, I do not do any treatment. So it's good in the sense that you're getting an unbiased opinion. I have nothing to gain from spotting certain problems. But if I do find a problem, I will refer out a pest control company so they can come in and treat the problem, and then they can kind of carry out the service from there. Same goes for the sewer. I'm not a plumber, so if I do find a problem, then I'm going to say, hey, you need to contact a plumber. Here is exactly where your problem and what the problem is. They can come and fix it.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, and I'd like to go back to the plumbing. Sure. Now, we talked about older plumbing, but just in recent years, as recent as 2000, we had bad PEX. Can you talk about identifying that and what the solutions are for that PEX piping that was bad?
Yeah, so PEX has really become a issue with insurance companies, and it's typically for anything that was installed prior to 2010. PEX is basically what they use in all new construction. It's a flexible plastic type of piping, and it's very popular in home construction now.
Is it green?
So it will come in different colors. So right. Normally you will see blue piping for cold water, red piping for hot water. Okay. You will see clear. Sometimes depending on the contractor, it doesn't really matter what color they use on what side, you know, but it's just going to be a plastic style piping. It won't be gray though. Gray is an older style that is
bad.
Yeah, it's polybutylene, and that insurance companies will not touch that either.
Yeah.
But with PEX, a lot of times it'll have a date code stamped on the side. Now, insurance companies are going to want to see that when we're going through and doing an inspection, unless it's like a new construction. But if it's an older house or something that's had upgrades, they want to see what the date is on that. The problem there lies where there's not always enough pipe available to see. You know, if it's just sticking out of the wall a couple of inches, or it's buried in insulation or something like that, well, we can't get a photo. I just ran into this just yesterday where we had to go back and take a look because the insurance company was saying we need a date. So that's where it starts to become an issue. But no, PEX piping is normally really good unless it's prior to 2010.
Okay. What should people moving to Florida know about buying a home from an inspector's perspective?
The biggest thing that you'll want to know is mostly has to do with insurance. So buying a home here is really no different than buying a home anywhere else. However, here in Florida, I know because I'm a transplant from Indiana. When you buy a home in Indiana, insurance is a non-factor. It's a couple hundred dollars maybe, depending on what you're buying. Down here, it can get very expensive very quickly. A lot of that's going to depend or rely upon the four-point, the wind mitigation reports that we provide for you guys. So obviously, you want to make sure that we're getting you accurate reports. But when you're moving here, definitely check on your insurance rates before you make a decision on a house.
Yeah. Would you recommend for a home seller, maybe their house isn't listed, but they're considering selling, can a seller purchase your services?
Absolutely. So it is something that I market, and it's something that I encourage for sellers, especially if you have an older home or something that's been lived in for quite some time. We can go in there and basically it'll be the exact same service. So I will do a full home inspection, mm-hmm. look at absolutely everything. The advantage to this is before they put the house on the market, we can identify any problems with inside the house. And that way they can take their time, they can pick their contractor, they can pick the materials, that type of thing, to get any repairs done. And they're on their own time at that point, mm-hmm. as opposed to once the house is already on the market, a buyer brings an inspector. Now we're on a timeline, we're on a time crunch trying to figure out how we're going to get this done with contractors that maybe you couldn't pick because your favorite one's busy. So it puts a lot of advantages on the seller's side.
Right. One thing we haven't asked is how much do you charge? Is it based on an hourly rate or is it based on square footage?
So it is a sliding scale. There's a base rate and then it goes up depending on the size of the home, the age of the home, mm-hmm. if it's on a crawl space or a slab or if it's on piers. And also if we have a pool, if we're doing the sewer cam inspection, if we're doing termite, you know, all of those things kind of add up. But I would say the sweet spot of what I do is anywhere between $400 and $600. And that's, you know, all in with WDO. But we're talking 3-bed, 2-bath home on a slab. That's kind of the average cost.
Right. Yep. Now, if a home is being lived in and it is a transaction between a buyer and a seller, is it okay if the seller's there? Is it okay if the buyer's there during your inspection? Kind of what's your what protocol do you prefer?
Honestly, so I run into every situation you can think of. I really have no preference. I mean, for the buyers, you know, they're paying for this inspection. They want to be informed on the house. They're welcome to be there. I usually recommend that they show up, you know, an hour after I start, just so I have a good head start and they're not just standing around twiddling their thumbs, looking at the house while I'm checking, you know, things that are not interesting to them. But for the seller, if they want to be there, they can. It does make things a little odd sometimes. I've had some sellers get a little weird, you know, about certain things. But honestly, overall, it's not that big a deal. I can't kick them out of their own house. So if they want to be there, hey, you can join the party. But yeah, it's however they want to do it.
Yeah. Do you check appliances?
I do, yes. So we, and you'll, well, Will is well aware, but in my reports, you will see I take photographic evidence of me testing the appliances. So we'll check the temperature of the refrigerator, the freezer, the oven. I have a little tester for microwave to make sure that it's pumping out microwaves.
Oh, nice.
We run the dishwasher.
Is that extra cost? I mean,
no,
what?
That's part of it.
I'm trying to think back when we bought our home a couple years ago. I don't know if that guy was doing that. Shot that one down.
I don't think they were.
Right.
But yeah, we try to run absolutely everything that we possibly can just to make sure that the buyer is fully informed on everything that is coming with the house.
Okay.
Is there a time when you think skipping a home inspection is a good idea? Well, I mean, this is your job, so.
I was going to say, obviously, I want everybody to get a home inspection, everybody to call me at BPG Inspections. But honestly, in all honesty, I don't think it's a good idea, especially because we'll get some clients or some realtors that I work with that they have their clients that are on a very tight budget. And they're like, well, what can we do to try to get around this? And I said, honestly, when you're at the lower end of the budget, you have less money to risk. It's more important to get the inspection at that point. Then, you know, buying a house sight unseen, getting in there, and now you have a $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 problem that you can't afford. So rather spend $500 on the inspection, know what you're getting into, as opposed to jumping into it blind.
And it does make sense. It's one of the biggest investments of most people's life.
Right.
Why try to save $500? The information is more important just going in knowing you're informed.
Right. One last question. Will and I do sell and help buyers with commercial real estate, and wondered if you do commercial inspections.
I have started to dabble in that a little bit. I haven't done a lot of it, but it is something that
would be like Will and I in commercial real estate too. Yeah.
But I am capable of doing it. Doing a commercial inspection is not drastically different than doing a residential home inspection. There are some other areas of that are going to be different, clearly, because of the features. But all in all, it's an inspection's an inspection, and, you know.
It's less appliances to check.
Definitely, yes.
Well, and most of the time, you're working for both, right?
Yes.
I mean, you're there to help the assistants, well, for all, I guess, the realtor, the buyer, the seller, all the realtors involved to get that home buying process moving, but obviously in the right direction, so people know what they're walking into, what needs to be fixed, or whatever's covered, right?
Correct, yes. Yeah, now my actual person I'm working for will be the buyer, but the idea of all of it is to help the seller to get through to closing, to help the realtors get through to closing. You know, we want to make sure everybody's happy, but at the core of it, we want to make sure the buyers are informed on the property and what they're getting.
Okay, that's excellent. Excellent, excellent. So we do have a minute before we take a news break so we can get an update in our newsroom here at News Radio Pensacola. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. Our number is 850-437-1620. So before we go, it's a quick question. So I think, Nathan, you can handle it. Do you have to get a permit to replace your HVAC?
So you should.
You should.
I see a lot of people that don't. Yeah. And a lot of that will depend on your contractor that, you know, the HVAC company that you're going through. They should be pulling the permits for that. And it depends on the jurisdiction as well.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
So, if you're in the city of Pensacola, it's going to be different than if you're in the county of Escambia or if you're in, you know, somewhere else. So it will depend.
Okay, very good. Thank you for squeezing that in. You can squeeze in more questions into our text line. Even during our news break, I'll make sure I get those in. 850-437-1620. Want to just remind you, I'm Jenna Barr, spending the morning with you here on Pep Talk. We have Angela Sherrill, who's a realtor here locally, along with Will Maben, another local realtor. They are joined by Nathan Biddle, who is answering all your home inspection questions, which are very interesting. If you've ever bought a home or you're thinking about it, get those questions in. I have a couple for you when we come back, but we're going to take a quick break. We have an update coming for you with David Wayne in our newsroom. You're listening to News Radio Pensacola. back here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Good morning to you. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Jenna Barr. Thanks for spending your morning with us and for texting in. We did have a couple of questions come through to our text line at 437-1620 for our panel of experts. We have a full panel right now, so get your questions in. Want to reintroduce our friend Angela Sherrill. She's a realtor here locally along with Will Maben, also a realtor. They're working here for you, and they have their guest expert with them, Nathan Biddle. He is a local inspector, home inspector, and he's been answering a ton of questions. Are you feeling okay over there, Nathan?
All good.
Okay, good. He's just they're just ringing them off, running them off for you. I had some, and one more that I wanted to get to kick off because I don't want to ignore anybody's text messages. Are there any red flags to look for when it comes to hiring a home inspector? I know, Nathan, we're going to encourage everyone to call you, of course. But are there any red flags when it comes to hiring a home inspector? Because it is very important. It's probably one of the vital moments in the home buying process. Trust me in choosing the proper and well-educated, well-trained home inspector.
I think the biggest key that you could probably pick up on as a home buyer would just be communication. If that home inspector is willing to answer his phone, answer text messages, talk to you before, during, and after the inspection, then yes, then I think that is one of the biggest keys. Obviously, you're not going to know a lot about their training and background, that type of thing. Everybody that's a home inspector is licensed, basically the same. There are going to be guys, you know, like I told you earlier myself, I didn't come from a construction background. You may have guys that grew up in it. So that would be, you know, one thing you could look into. But for me, the biggest thing is communication.
For me, the biggest thing is availability and ability to do your job properly. And somebody that actually takes the time to walk through and do it, not just pencil whip a report for me.
Right. Oh, yeah. And also attitude of, hey, I really want to help make this deal work. I think Will and I have come across some inspectors that, you know, it is more about pencil whipping, you know, a 1,200 square foot home and you're reading 65 pages of nothing but red marks. And, you know, we want to be transactional and bring a buyer and seller together. One question I have for you is, so say that you find an issue with the HVAC, and I know that you say in your report, you know, you're not a licensed HVAC contractor. You would recommend that they get a licensed HVAC contractor to come out and check out the system. And so the buyer does that, whatever the problem is fixed. Can you be called to go back out to check their work? I mean, you're not the professional, but, you know, what's your policy on that, and is there a charge?
So that is actually a great question. So I do a lot of what are called re-inspections, and it is for those instances exactly. However, typically that's reserved for items that are going to come up on the four-point report that we talked about earlier, and that are going to be required to be repaired. And then I will come back out. My fee from my company is $100. To come back out for the re-inspection. And that covers, you know, my time while I'm there, but also the reporting. You'll get your updated insurance forms and all that. But yes, I do have clients once in a while that if it's just something that was repaired. Yesterday I did a re-inspection. There were a few items that were on the four-point form. Mm-hmm. We updated those forms. But there was also a list of other things that they wanted repaired, and I checked those out while I was there as well.
Nice.
Yeah. And the most common for me that I'm seeing for having to have a re-inspect is replacing a roof prior to closing.
Yeah.
And then we have to go out and clean up our four point and make sure that, one, they pulled a permit, two, they closed that permit, and they did the job properly. Mm-hmm. And Nathan's been fantastic for me on following up with those and re-inspects. Very accommodating, and, you know, like I said, availability is a major thing that I'm looking for in a home inspector.
Right. Do you recommend that a buyer submit the entire report to insurance and to your lender if they have a loan?
Definitely not. So I actually, when I am finished with my clients' reports, I will actually send them a very detailed text message that outlines that as exactly. And I will explain to them, do not send the full inspection report to your insurance company. They do not need that. They don't need help charging you more money. Just send them exactly what they're asking for.
Amen to that.
Right. Yeah, only the 4 point and win mitt. That's all they require. That's all they get.
Yes.
Right. And also, do not
hanging out with them all the time.
Right. And do not send to your lender either.
No. And actually, I was told here recently, I can't remember if it was from a lender or an insurance person, but they said when they receive those forms, if somebody sends the full report accidentally, it's their job. They have to review the entire document because it was sent to them. So they're going to use anything that's on there. So if you're buying an older home that's got a lot of problems, they're going to see all those problems.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And it's really, you know, unfortunately, sometimes, it's not done intentionally most of the time. A buyer, they're so excited, they're so enthusiastic, they want to do everything correctly. Unfortunately, they don't hear that part about don't send the entire report. And so I know Will and I have on occasion had to really scramble to make it right so that a buyer could, you know, continue on with the buying, with a successful buying process.
Well, and one more time, our job is to make sure that we have informed buyers and informed sellers.
Yeah.
As far as the insurance goes, and they're not the buyer or the seller. They're just the person charging you for insurance. Let's give them as little ammunition as possible.
Right. Exactly. So.
On everything.
We're not trying to all go broke at once.
Exactly.
Is that what you mean?
Well, I hate to bash the insurance company, but gosh.
No, they're there for a reason. But what you're saying is you don't have to give every single bit of information.
Right.
Right.
It's not recommended.
Thinking that they could charge you more because you've got a broken brick at the front door or.
Of course. Yeah. Then they go, oh, foundational.
Hello. Exactly. Yeah. Then all of a sudden that molehill became a mountain.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you're paying for it. So it's very important to make sure we are controlling the flow of information. We wanted the buyers and the sellers to have the information. Now, the inspection report would belong to the person who is
paying,
purchasing that report. So your information is your information.
Right. I think one thing we wanted to transition into, was introduced first was on new home sales. I mean, they are exploding in our area. We have a lot of new properties, not necessarily so much in the city of Pensacola, but all around. And I recently had two brand new home sales in Santa Rosa County. And believe it or not, the buyers were like, when I said, hey, we need to have a home inspection, and they looked at me like I was crazy. Why would you want a home inspection on a brand new home?
Because we want to be informed.
Yes, you want to be informed. And believe it or not, all of those contractors and all of those subs that work for those contractors, they get busy and they miss things. And so, I mean, for instance, on this one, there wasn't a stopper in the bathtub. There was not enough insulation. I mean, there's some really kind of crazy things. There was a refrigerator when the people were not buying the house with a refrigerator. That was even funnier.
Right.
You know, I mean, things like that. And so what's your take on the new home buying process and using a home inspector?
So I do a lot of new construction. And the more of them that I do, the more of them that I recommend that people do. And it's an independent home inspection on a new construction home. Now, when you go through one of these builders that are in the area, they're going to tell you this house will be inspected by their own people and make sure that it's perfect. They have a vested interest to not, you know, find things.
It's perfect.
Right. And they will tell you it's a perfect home, and if it's not, they'll fix it. But the problem is once you get moved in, then it starts to become a struggle to get certain things fixed.
Right.
And on a timely basis. For me, when I come in, I have found so many things on new construction homes that people are like, thank you so much. And now, you know, you'll get your occasional house that will just have a few little minor things. But what I tell people is on new construction, when I'm doing a home inspection for you, we will find something. Mm. And I am particularly picky on new construction because they're expecting to buy a perfect home, and I want to get them as close to that point as we can.
New home.
Yes.
Nothing's ever perfect.
Exactly. You're right.
But one thing I will say for all of the new builders, they welcome those inspections. They take it as a challenge to do better each time. I've never heard somebody say, oh, no, you got a home inspection. No, they take it the other way, and they will fix everything that is marked on the home inspection and make sure that they're delivering you a new home. But they'll also deliver you the home without that home inspection, too, and all of those things were missed.
Right.
That's why it's always recommended. More information is never going to hurt you.
Particularly when you are, I mean, there's some really good incentives on buying a new home that a lot of these home builders are offering, which is great. But just make I can't say enough about having an independent person coming in and putting eyes on the, quote, finished product. Home builders will tell you, oh, yeah, you have we have a warranty and, you know, we're going to guarantee everything. But I think what happens once you have been given the keys and you move your stuff in, you know, I mean, you get busy, life happens, and I think you forget.
The best warranty is the one you never have to use.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's really good. And you think about it, though, you have the seller who's been looking, whether it's a new build or they've been in the house, right? They've been looking at that project for a long time. People miss things. It happens.
Oh, yeah.
There's little shortcuts that people accidentally take. It's not always done on purpose. We're not trying to villainize anybody.
They were working on it Friday at Miller time, and then all of a sudden Monday morning you're back in and you start the new thing and thinking that that other person finished their job.
Right.
And we found things that weren't finished. Now, I've also found homes where I felt like, gosh, we could have gotten away with not doing a home inspection on that, but I would rather have it that way. The only thing we found wrong was the air conditioner outside was tilted a little bit.
Oh, wow.
And that was the only thing that was wrong, and that was just because my inspector was extremely picky. And I like that.
Yeah. We like it, the picky inspectors, actually. Hey, 850-437-1620. We have about 8 minutes left here in the program. If you'd like to squeeze in your question, the number is 437-1620. Let me get to one right here. On average, how many red flags do you see on a single inspection report, Nathan?
Oh, goodness. That's going to vary on every single house. It does, I've had some reports that have zero, and I've had some reports that are, you know, 20 or more. It just depends completely on the condition of the house.
Oh, wow.
And the owner. Not all owners are created equal. Some take very, very good care of their property.
Sure.
Right.
Every house is different. Every owner is different. Right. And builders are different too. The workers with the builders are different. Everything is different. But you have the seller, you have the buyer, and then you have a third set of eyeballs that goes in with your knowledge, and you know what's supposed to be there, what's not supposed to be there, right? And you match it up. It always helps.
Right.
That third party always helps.
My standard that I get on action items, we don't call them red flags, they're action items.
Action items.
Yes.
It's about 8 per home. So there could be... from plugs that don't have a ground proper to
just being upside down,
a flashing or air conditioners not level outside, or they didn't put the basket in the sink properly.
Yeah.
But those are all items that do show up and are most of the time easily addressed.
Yeah. We like that. And we're answering questions here now. We actually have someone on the line. I want to go ahead and say good morning to our caller. What's your question this morning?
Hey, good morning, Jenna and everyone.
Good morning.
I was the one who texted the question about the HVAC unit, and I have a follow-up. If I had a new replacement put in and it wasn't permitted, will that be an issue when I go to sell the house?
Well, I would like to tell you, no, it wouldn't, as long as you use Angela or I. But to be honest, they're not really pulling those permits on HVACs right now. We're only really looking at roofs. Right. But it can always become an issue, and that's what I would worry about.
I would keep all of your paperwork from that HVAC contractor. And the other thing, too, just if he has not, if your HVAC contractor has not explained this to you, I don't know when you put this new HVAC system in, but you can get additional warranty coverage if you keep your paperwork and if you call that company directly. And register your product. That is so important, particularly. I mean, I know what it costs to put in a new air handler or a condenser, and you know, you could get another 5 years from the manufacturer if you will simply register your product.
But as far as the permit goes, if you had to, you could go to a certified HVAC company and ask mm-hmm. them if they could retroactively pull a permit, close the permit, and do an inspection. So mm-hmm. you could still get a permit done if you found that you needed it.
But right.
I think you'll be okay, and as long as it's working, congratulations.
Yes.
You have air conditioning in this heat.
Yeah, we like that. Hey, Michael, thank you so much for calling.
So
I appreciate
it.
Hey, we'll talk to you soon. Michael is a faithful listener for sure. And we have another call coming in. Let's hop right into it. We have Marie. Good morning, Marie. Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel. What's your question?
So basically, I just bought a new house. As I just heard, they're really only pulling permits during inspection for the roof. And we found out that there's 4 existing open permits. Ooh. We cannot get a hold of the contractor. We're the new owners. This is from like 2017. Okay. How do we go about getting those permits closed?
You would,
because we have our insurance inspection coming up.
Okay. So who was your closing agent?
Right. Who was your realtor?
And who was, well, I mean, don't answer that question.
Right.
But I would call the closing agent, whoever closed this transaction for you, because the title company, they should have told you prior to closing. It should not have closed. If there are open permits, generally you cannot close on a real estate transaction if you have open permits.
And then answer your question, you be able to go back to those same companies. Mm-hmm. If they pulled permits and didn't close them, those permits are probably expired now. But
right.
that same company can pull a permit today, close mm-hmm. it today, and show that the work was done and inspected properly and get you closed permits. If I can help you any way outside of
right.
this, my phone number is 850-261-7020.
And I'm Angela, and my number is 850-292-3165. This is a great question.
Sorry it happened.
It's happened.
Wow.
But there is resolution. So,
not the end of the world.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a good thing that you have realized it now. And that you're seeking some help, because
just don't tell your insurance company.
Yeah, don't tell your insurance company.
We won't tell them either that you called us and asked. We promise. Marie, thank you so much for calling.
Happy
I appreciate
Thursday.
You tuning in and listening. Please contact them for more information and for more help. All right.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You. All right. And if you'd like to text in and squeeze in one more question this morning, 850-437-1620 before we wrap up. That was a lot.
It was a lot.
Yeah. And it happens all the time, unfortunately.
Oh,
and while we have a little filler time, I'd like to go back and talk about new homes and new home development.
Yeah.
Nearly 40% of all real estate transactions in our area are new development currently.
Currently.
These new builders are offering, in a lot of cases, lower interest rates.
Yes.
Cheaper mm-hmm. move-in packages.
Right.
And, of course, there's also the great thing about new.
Yeah.
Everything's
sure.
new. It gives you years of worry-free living. As long as you get an inspection and you know everything
exactly.
is right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of great things. Angela and I do a lot of this business, and we would love to help you if you're looking at new or existing real estate. Mm-hmm. Please feel free to reach out to us. My name is Will Maben. My phone number is 850-261-7020.
And I'm Angela Sherrill, and my number is 850-292-3165.
And, of course, like, if anybody has any other questions for you, Nathan, would you like to give them your number as well, just to, if they'd like to ask some other questions when it
comes
to home
inspection? Walk on the wild side, Nathan.
Absolutely, yeah. My name is Nathan Biddle. I work with BPG Home Inspections. And my personal number is 765-918-6273. And people can call anytime if they have a home inspection question. And I always tell realtors that I work with and meet, if they have, you know, they're walking through a house and they see something odd and they just want to know what it is, yeah, shoot me a picture and then we'll try to figure it out from there.
And that's funny. It's actually true. I work with Nathan a lot. I may be his Will. But I work with him a lot. So I send him pictures over and I say, hey, is this a problem? And he's usually about 3 to 5 minutes. I've got an answer. Or I say, hey, no rush. Can you get back with me and just let me know this? 10 seconds later, I've already gotten on to something else. 10 seconds later, he's already on the phone with me.
Right. Wow.
Helping and answering.
That's the difference right there. I mean, we talked about it at the beginning of the program. If you missed it, you can catch it on our podcast page. But that's the difference between hiring a home inspector that knows what they're doing and is there for you and efficient and answering the questions versus not having that. So that's amazing.
Availability is important.
Right. Yeah, and really we text. Right. Sometimes, you know, we get lots of phone calls, we get lots of emails, a lot of it's spam. So if we don't answer, don't give up. Text us.
Sure. Go ahead. What's the website there, Will?
You can find us at buysellcanel.com, and you can find either myself or Angela Sherrill's profile picture. Click on, add the link. We also post all of our podcasts from every show that we've done. Under both of our profiles.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.